We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Tire Discount Tire Pros.
How can you do things if you're not getting quality sleep? How do you concentrate? I know firsthand because I was settling for sleep with my old pillow years ago, and now that I have a MyPillow, no more. I get that deep feeling, refreshed the next morning sleep I need and deserve. And now for the summer, MyPillow has brought back the best offer ever. Buy one MyPillow, get one absolutely free. Just go to MyPillow.com and make sure to use the promo code WFAN. If you want that quality sleep that has you feeling like a brand new person the very next morning, take advantage of this offer. Offer right now. Get one for you and one for your wife, husband, neighbor, the mailman, whoever. MyPillow is 100% machine washable and dryable. It comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Take advantage of MyPillow's very best offer. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Buy One, Get One free special, and use that promo code, easy to remember, WFAN. Or call 800-613-2103, promo code WFAN, to get the Buy One, Get One offer. You can also use the promo code WFAN to get up to 50% off all items on the MyPillow website. That's MyPillow.com.
We work at Bethpage Federal Credit Union, so we care about what you care about.
Like earning more on the money you save.
That's why our money market account pays 1.5% annual percentage yield.
And you can access your funds anytime.
For easy online account opening or to learn more, visit lovebethpage.com.
Because we can all use a bigger nest egg.
Bethpage Federal Credit Union, named best place to bank in New York by Money Magazine.
The money market variable rate tiered account requires a minimum balance of $500 to earn the current APY of 1.5%. Federally insured by NCUA. Money Magazine used under license.
Living and working in New York, we're used to the best. That's why when you're in New York City, you need to visit Icon Parking. Their prompt premier service will help you get where you need to go. With over 300 locations, you're never far from an Icon or Quick Park garage. Visit iconparking.com or download their app, Icon Go. Icon, we park New York.
What to serve and eat these days can be a bear. Whether lunch, picnics, or dinner time, it's Black Bear to the rescue.
Premium Black Bear Deli meats and cheeses offer you and your family healthy options for any meal. All Black Bear Deli meats are handcrafted, slow-cooked, and naturally gluten-free.
On the go or at home, make Black Bear part of your summertime menu any way you slice it. Ask for Black Bear Deli meats and cheeses by name at the deli counter. Black Bear only at ShopRite.
AC is blowing hot air, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Get immediate relief with Interdynamics R134A refrigerant for $9.99. AC recharging is fast and easy with Interdynamics R134A refrigerant at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Introducing new packages from Xfinity with customizable streaming TV options. Want to save money? Check out our flexible channel packs. Want all your streaming apps in one place? Get X1. Or stream live TV and the latest movies and shows on any device. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Xfinity has all new packages with customizable streaming TV options to give you more choice and faster speeds. Get started with a great offer today. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit the store today. Restrictions apply.
Sunday, it's the WFAN Jeep Yankee Radio Network.
Tonight, I'm heading for the stadium. That's right. The city's gonna rock tonight as we make history. I'm getting on a subway.
Ah, you edited it, but it's still good, though. All right? I know you spliced it. Yeah.
I'm getting on a subway.
You took out some of the good moments, but that's okay. That's all right. It's on YouTube if you want to see it. That's the Subway Series song I was talking about earlier. A guy named Joe Nuzzo, I guess, created it many, many years ago. Jim Nuzzo, thank you. Got to give the proper credit to him. Anyhow, this Sunday is the FAN Jeep Yankees Radio Network Fan Fest at Macomb's Dam Park, right across from Yankee Stadium, from 3 to 7, just before Yankee Met Subway Series finale. Big Jacob deGrom on the mound against Masahiro Tanaka. Not bad. It'll be a day of fun, food, games, and much more.
including a chance to get your picture taken with Bernie Williams, Daryl Strawberry, Willie Randolph, David Cohn, and Brian Cashman. Brian Cashman in the building. You know what? When he's there, I want to look over and see what's going on his phone. I want to see what GM he's texting. Yeah, I don't think he'll like that. Plus, we'll be broadcasting live beginning at 3 p.m. with all your favorite hosts. It's powered by Jeep, the most awarded SUV brand ever, and by Wendy's, Old Dominion Freightline, Backblade, Fidelis Care, the Lustgarten Foundation, and your flagship station for Yankee baseball. The Fan, the Yankee Report with Sweeney, is brought to you by your New York Community Bank and the NYCB family of banks. Online at mynycb.com, by your locally owned and operated Papa John's, the official pizza of the New York Yankees, by Adorama, the official electronic retailer of the Yankees radio network, by Interstate Batteries, every battery for every need, and by Carrier, turn to the experts. Sweeney Murdy, how are you, sir?
Wonderful, Evan. How you doing?
Do you remember that song that Dove was playing? Did you ever hear that played at Yankee Stadium?
Vaguely. How old is that song?
So I remember, my dad and I remember hearing it at Yankee Stadium probably in the early 2000s. I think it was written for the Subway World Series, and I think the Yankees, okay. the Yankees are the only one who's played it. I've never heard it at Chase Stadium or City, and probably the early 2000s, but I always found the song very catchy and would fire me up for the Subway Series.
Seems like it. I mean, I couldn't sing it for you, except that I just heard it, but it vaguely sounds familiar.
Getting on the subway tonight to the stadium, that's right. We're going to rock this town as we make history. You like my voice, right, Sweeney? Not bad, right?
No, not really.
No. How was your All-Star break, buddy?
Wonderful. Spent some quality time at the beach and ready and recharged, ready to go.
All right, let's start with this team here in the second half, because under normal circumstances, a 62-33 win team would be about seven games up in their division, and oddly, they're 4.5 games back. Your biggest question mark, if any, on this baseball team going into the second half that begins tonight against the Mets?
Which starting pitcher they're going to acquire? I mean, really, there's not a lot of, you know, if you talk to people around the league, you know, we tend to look at every one of those 33 losses and say, this is what's wrong with the team. People around the league look at the Yankees and say, they're really good. And they just happen to be playing in a division with a team that's better than them. Now, to get caught up in being 4.5 out and they can't catch them, remember, you know, the Yankees started 9-9 and were 7.5 games out of first place. 3 weeks later, they were in first place. They caught the Red Sox that fast back in May, and it can happen again just as quickly. They have 10 games left against each other. And I articulated this on WFAN.com today, and that this could end up being the craziest Yankees-Red Sox season ever based on how many times they could potentially play at the end of the year. You look at the three-game series that closes the year. They could finish tied and play a game 162-3.
That's
We've
right.
seen that before. But if the best record comes out of this division, whoever ends up in the wild card game, you could go right back to a best of five Yankees Red Sox right after that. So you could play three or four times to finish the season, play one game against somebody else, then go back into another Yankees Red Sox series. It sounds insane, and it probably won't happen, but it could. It really could.
Oh yeah.
And that's what I think this, you know, to me, what I really thought about was, this isn't necessarily about finishing ahead of the Red Sox. It's about beating the Red Sox, because you could still end up in a five-game division series with them, even if you win the division. So I think that's where you're really headed when this, you know, when this settles weeks from now.
And it's what I am as a baseball fan hoping for, because now I did predict it at the beginning of the year. And knowing you, you're going to say, Evan, I don't give you any credit for that prediction, because that you just picked something that you wanted to see happen. And that was it. And that's what I think you would say to me.
Well, I will hedge my what I'm going to say about that based on what did you predict for the Mets?
I predicted that the Mets would win 85 games.
Okay.
Wait, there are some good ones in here, because I actually write them down and tweet them so people can hold me accountable.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought the A's would be pretty good. Not this good. I thought they'd win 81 games, so give me some love for that one a little bit,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought the Rockies would win the West, which I still have a chance of happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought the Phillies would be in the wild card race, which is clearly happening.
Okay. Yeah.
Here are the bad ones. You ready for some bad ones?
Go.
I thought the White Sox would win 80 games.
Oh.
That's pretty bad.
Whoa.
I thought the Braves would finish under 500.
Okay.
That's not very good. But here's the thing, and I've mentioned this before. I picked the Yankees and Red Sox to finish tied. I picked them to win in the low 90s, not to win 100 games. Sure. So I may be right about a one-game playoff and root for that to happen, but where I'll totally admit I'm wrong is I could never have dreamed or dreamt that both teams could potentially win 100 games. It's never happened in Yankee Red Sox history.
Right.
And Sweeney, as we sit here today, it's likely to happen that they're both going to win 100 games.
And listen, Houston can really throw a wrench into this little plan, and I freely admit that, but you know, based on how these teams finish. But again, just the premise that if the AL East winner finishes with the best record, then whoever gets into the wild card game is you know, facing the AL East champ in the best of five. So you could be knocking yourselves out to beat each other and avoid the one game and still end up facing each other in the series. Now, I get the pitfalls of the one game, but let's not forget, last year the Yankees ended up having to pitch their best pitcher in the wild card game, and when they advanced, they faced a team that had a true ace, and theirs couldn't pitch until later in the series. Well, guess what? They beat the true ace, and it didn't matter. I feel like this team is short pitching, and we've been saying that since spring training. Everybody inside and outside the organization knows that. You know, and listen, they've aligned their rotation here. I mean, they talked about getting extra rest for Sabathia, Severino. Listen, in 2 weeks, they're going to play the four-game series with the Red Sox. So, Luis Severino, CC Sabathia are both lined up to pitch in it now, and Sonny Gray is not. It's not an accident. I think this really just depends on how you view their starting pitching and what improvements they can make to it over the course of the next couple of weeks.
One thing I want to go back on real quick, and I know we shouldn't spend that much time on it. I remember that Severino was so bad in the wild card game, and he threw so few pitches that the Yankees actually had the option, if they wanted, to bring him back quicker than they did. They decided not to, and it's fine because he responded. Correct. He pitched well. But that was an option because in that wild card game, he only threw 30 pitches. He barely pitched, you know?
Yeah, got out of that quickly. But, you know, I think a lot of times the pitchers, it's about the routine. You know, whether you throw 30 or throw 130, it's still, okay, here's my work days and this and that. And I know things change in the postseason. But they had the ability to bring him back normal and had confidence in Sabathia and what they were throwing out there. So, I mean, that part worked out for them okay.
Right.
I guess what I'm trying to really drive home is that being in the wild card doesn't completely sabotage what your October fortunes can be.
No, it just makes it more difficult. That's all.
Correct.
No, that's it. And it could end terribly because it could end with, you know, Sean Manaea throwing a three-hit shutout against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. That's how it could end.
And I don't look at – listen – If the Yankees win 105 games and finish in second place, it's hard to find fault somewhere along the line. You know, I mean, you think about how good a team is to win that many games. We're going to be, like I said, we pick apart all the losses. You know, we forget to look at the wins and say, this is how good they are sometimes. But if the Yankees finish second, or the Red Sox, whoever finishes second with 104, 105, 106 wins, it's hard to find fault in saying, well, they failed because they weren't good enough to do this.
Right.
It just so happens that there's another really good team in the division and a couple of really bad ones scattered throughout the league that are, you know, they're helping out that cause too.
Yeah, it's a very weird season, and I've said this many times. This is a weird baseball season where the critiques we have of the Yankees were probably not talking about as loudly if it was a normal season because they'd be seven games up. That's the difference.
And listen, they've had some issues where you're going to look at the games they lost to the Orioles, some of the one-run losses, the extra inning losses back in April, and say you're going to point to those. Those are going to stick in your craw when you're looking at the standings. They lost the series to the Rangers. You know, they have a chance. They still play the White Sox a couple of times coming up in the next month. They have a four-game series with the Royals next week. They have a chance to really, you know, fatten up on teams that are playing really bad. So I think that is still correctable for them. It's not a bad thing that they beat all the good teams, too. They're 18. If you look at the Red Sox, the Indians, the Astros and the Mariners. Mm-hmm. The Yankees are 18-8 against those teams. You know, they're winning series against every single one of those teams. So, I mean, I think we're basing this completely on, oh no, don't end up in the wild card. But it, you know, look at who they're beating, how good they have been at times. if they can get another starter to make you everybody feel a little bit more confident about what they've got going on,
right,
this is a dangerous team.
All right, let's get – and we're talking to Sweeney Murdy about the Yankees. They open the second half of the year up tonight. You'll hear the game on this radio station, Big Fan Fest this weekend, Yankees-Mets. Let's look at some of these starters because we've heard the names many times. Jay Happ is out there. Cole Hamels out there. Maybe Michael Fulmer. Maybe Zach Wheeler. I thought Yastrzemski had some interesting ideas yesterday. I was listening to him, and he mentioned a couple of the Angel pitchers, Haney and Skaggs, who I'm skeptical about because they're young and they're controllable. But you never know. I think it's a good idea because the Angels are probably not going anywhere nine games back. Of the names that we know are out there, because you know, I guess something could shock us. You know, it could happen. I don't think it's DeGrom or Bumgarner, but something on a lower level could stun us. Of the guys that are out there, to you, what's the preference? What makes the biggest difference for this baseball team this year?
Well, I think, you know, I think it was like a week ago, Haney and Skaggs' name were mentioned as the Angels potentially fall out of this. And you're right, they're interesting because of what they bring as far as control. To me, Happ is still the interesting guy here because despite what happened in his last start, he's pitched very well against the Red Sox the last couple of years. And as I'm drawing out this scenario of having to beat the Red Sox head to head, that's the name I'm kind of keep coming back to. I don't know yet how willing the Yankees are going to be to move forward on a prospect that's higher up in the system a little bit, you know, a higher right. ranked prospect. I mean, it would seem that they really don't want to deal. Everything they've told us, they don't want to deal higher up. And look at what the Indians gave up to get Brad Hand. You're like, okay, well, the Yankees are not coming close to making a deal like that. So I think it's going to come down to the rental type with a guy like Happ. But here's the thing about Brian Cashman. He's constantly made deals that we didn't see coming.
Yes.
And that's why this next, you know, 12 days or so gets really interesting.
Yeah, that's the thing you always got to keep in mind, that Cashman could pull something that you don't see. I think the big aces, though, that one would really be a stunner because, number one, I don't think the Mets are trading DeGrom or Syndergaard, and we know the difficulties of the Mets and Yankees ever making a trade. They wouldn't make a trade
Agreed.
Last year about Jay Bruce and Neil Walker. And no way with Bumgarner. So you just think out loud about it, and you say, okay, well, what potential ace could it even be that would somehow become available?
I know people have thrown, you know, Blake Snell out there, you know, or even, you know, Nate Eovaldi has pitched well, and I've heard people mentioning his name. It's just as bad making a deal with the Rays as it is with the Mets or the Red Sox, or, you know, whoever you want to pick that you're competing against right there. The Rays and the Yankees have made two trades in the last 13 years. Mm. They have involved Carlos Corcoran and Nick Green. Think about all the starting pitchers that the Rays have had and have dealt. All the pitching they have traded in the last 10 years. Yankees can't sniff it. It is a bad matchup. Whether you're talking about what the Yankees are willing to give up and what the Rays are willing to accept, they never come together on pitchers. All these pitchers the Rays have traded, they've always gone elsewhere. The Yankees could certainly have used them. It's not realistic to think about the Yankees and Rays as trading partners.
Why is that? I mean, well, what's the, like, Stu Sternberg? Is it a Sternberg? What's the reason for that?
I think it's the matchup and what both sides want. You know, I think the Yankees are not willing to give up a lot. I think the Rays always believe there's a better deal elsewhere to be had. And I think the old, you know, Steinbrenner Namoli thing, I think that's long gone. But I just think that there is not a way to match up with these two front offices in the realistic value between the two sides. I just don't think they see it the same way, so the players end up going somewhere else.
We're talking to Sweeney about the Yankees. We know Sanchez is coming back today, thank God, because, dude, some of these Yankee fans have turned on Gary Sanchez. They want him traded. They want Austin Romine playing. I know he didn't have a great start. We all get it. All right? When you're hitting under 200 or right at 200, you're not doing great. We get it. But he needs to come back and hit just to shut some of these people up, you know? Just to remind them.
And he's going to make a difference. I mean, I heard you allude to it earlier. You know, the team started taking off, and the running game definitely got exposed over the course of the last week or so before the break. I think that it's a good chance to reset for Sanchez. You know, his overall, we're going to basically start over here and look at his numbers from the, you know, since the All-Star break, whether it's average, whether it's defensive, whatever you want to do, power numbers. It's basically a reset here after missing some time. Listen, that said, all the things that you don't like about Gary Sanchez defensively, you know, the thing that stood out was it was almost as if people just assumed he wasn't ever going to get better. And that's on him right now. You know, it's on the coaching staff and it's on him. He needs to be able to improve those areas and straighten up the defensive shortcomings of his game. But there are still a lot of pluses to his game, which sure. which is his throwing arm and which is that power bat, which, you know, if you think that you have to trade him, you're crazy. You have to work with him and you have to get the complete parts of his game there. It's not unlike what Jorge Posada used to bring for years and years. And Sanchez is a better offensive player or has the potential to be a better offensive player.
Right,
is
right.
Probably a better way of putting it. Jorge Posada had a really, really good career. But for years and years, it was like, okay, well, you got to do something. He's not a good catcher, blah, blah, blah. They let him catch, what, 1,300 times,
yeah.
You know? And there was value in him behind the plate. There is value in Gary Sanchez behind the plate. The shortcomings tend to drive you crazy a little bit when you're thinking about what may or may not make a difference on a championship team. But they are things he can improve on and needs to improve on.
Yeah, and I don't want to pick on Austin Romine because he's had a really good season and he's a really mm-hmm. good backup catcher. But he's not a starting catcher. I mean, even if you look at his numbers since he's filled in for Gary Sanchez, they're okay, but they're starting to come down. I mean, he's not the, you know, the 458 hitter he was in May. He's not that guy. So I think it's also overrating him a little bit too.
I think Austin Romine is very capable offensively, but you know, he's not superstar level offensively, which is what Gary Sanchez brings you. And over the course of time, those numbers are just naturally going to come back down to a little bit more realistic level, as good as a player he is. And it tends to happen to almost every backup catcher when you're thrown into, now this is only a couple of weeks, so
right.
it shouldn't be that dramatic. But, you know, I remember the year that, I think it was in 08 when Posada got hurt and missed the whole second half of the season. Jose Molina got driven into the ground. And if you looked at what his offense was like and what he looked like, he wasn't built up to play that many games in that part of the season. So that's what tends to happen to the backup catchers a lot around all over the league. If you look at them, if you know, it's through no fault of their own, as much as they try to be prepared to play every day, when they play every day, it's just different, and it tends to show as the season wears on. It's only a couple of weeks. That's what you really intend your backup catcher to be,
right?
As that type of a player, and you know he is. You know, Romine is still a very obviously a very good defensive catcher, very capable hitter as he's shown, and I think you know you'll see him get his find his spots to get his hits. As he goes back to the original catching rotation, but you know to sit here and expect him to put up Sanchez like numbers was very unrealistic.
He's a special player, Gary Sanchez. A couple more things. Gleyber Torres, when do we see him back?
I would think in a couple of days. I mean, everything seems to be moving in the right direction with him. They just want to be really certain. I mean, listen, the hips are as minor as they say it was. It's still a big concern. I mean, you consider what his greatest asset was all of a sudden his power game came on, and you don't want him doing anything that's going to compromise his swing. And defensively, he's made such a difference too. And I started thinking about this today. I was reading something that Katie Sharp did for The Athletic about the Yankees' defensive shift and how many runs their infield defense overall hasn't been great, but when they shift, they are exceptional. And I look at part of the reason is that they have basically two shortstops playing in the middle of the field. And that has to be a huge advantage you know, when the pitchers are able to take advantage of it, induce ground balls, and just the ability to have two guys with shortstop range, shortstop arms playing the middle of the field, that's certainly a huge plus for this team. So I would think within a few days we'll get a, you know, you'll be seeing him back here.
Now, littered throughout baseball, and I've gone over this for a couple of days. Joe and I talked about it last week. These young prospects that come up in a pennant race and have a huge impact. Miguel Cabrera did it when he was young with the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
Jobber. Forget Jobber, right? Frankie Rodriguez with the Angels. There's so many guys that have done this. And I bring up Justice Sheffield for this reason. He's pitched well at AAA. I think he's made 10 starts now after he was recalled from AA. He's a lefty. He's pitched very well against lefties. I think with Sheffield, if they so choose, maybe they don't so choose, they have two options. Number one, they could put him in the rotation. He can make an impact there. But maybe, even though this is a very good bullpen, maybe even out of the bullpen, as a guy that can get a big lefty out. Do you see the Yankees in the near future bringing up Justice Sheffield, whether as a starter or as a reliever, and maybe he is that X factor? David Price. How about David Price? What he did when David Price used to be competent in the playoffs the one time he was. How about Sheffield?
I have to investigate more his left on left.
I got him.
Situation.
You want to hear him, Sween?
Go ahead.
All right, here we go. Right, hold on. I just had it. Here it is.
Whatever you tell me, because he hasn't been used that way, you know, this is the whole thing precipitated the Jobba rule. You know, Jobba was a starting pitcher and came up, and they had to be careful how they used him as a reliever to not wear him out.
That's a fact.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's an absolute fact. Lefties hitting just 144 against him, righties 210.
Okay.
So, look, he's done well against everybody because he's been good, obviously, but there are indicators. There are indicators. Thank you, Baseball Reference. You know, how great are you? Big difference in OPS. Here, how about this OPS? Righties, 626. Lefties, OPS, 392.
Nice.
So.
Yeah, very good against lefties.
Eh.
Now, here, the only thing that worries me is there are some of these starts that you look at, his walks go way up. He doesn't give up a lot of hits. When he has trouble, it seems to be just walking guys. Here's what I could see. If you remember 3 years ago at the deadline, the Yankees didn't get a pitcher, and they ended up promoting Luis Severino. They said, I remember the conference call Brian Cashman had with us, how they were in on certain guys. They couldn't make the deal or didn't want to make those deals, couldn't close the deals. And they said, oh, by the way, Luis Severino is going to make his debut on August 1st or 2nd, whatever it was. That's a scenario I could see. Brian Cashman has stated that if he doesn't get a pitcher, it's because he didn't like the cost. So that's a scenario that I could see. If they don't end up with something, maybe they take a chance that way. I also think if you look at, you know, Herman is the guy that probably needs replaced first. He has been wildly inconsistent lately, and, you know, his outings have gotten away from him. Sonny Gray is being set up for success if you look at who he's going to be facing over the course of these next few starts he's making. That, I think, is something that you're going to look for because, I mean, they've obviously invested a lot in him. So to get some good starts under him and try to ride him through the second half a little bit, I think is going to be key. I don't think that guarantees anything as far as an October start, but I think the Yankees are obviously looking to get him right and add to this rotation. If they can't add to it, is Sheffield an option? I couldn't say he's not.
All right, I'm going to give you a prediction. 6 innings, 1 run from Sonny Gray tomorrow. 6 innings, 1 run. And I'm really not going
And I'm not even talking about the Mets. You know, they've got the Orioles. They've got the Royals. They've got a bunch of
And he's pissed well against those teams. I mean, you're naming specific.
Has.
Yeah, no doubt. So if you're a fantasy owner out there, pick up Sonny Gray for a week or two. You'll actually get some production out of him. All right, Sweeney. I assume I'm going to see you tomorrow and Sunday. I'm going to be there tomorrow.
I'm there all of them. You know where I am. Always know where I am. You can, this is a spring training where you go sit out in the berm and ignore me. I mean, you know where I am.
Stop it. Come on, that was a decade ago.
Is that how long ago it was?
It's a long time ago, man. Long time. Well, maybe not a decade, but it's a while.
I'll be looking to give you – you don't need to wear a suit, but I will be looking to give you a thumbs up or thumbs down.
Right? All right. I'm going to work hard on that outfit. Thank you, Sweeney.
See you, Evan.
Sweeney Murdy on the Yankees, the Subway Series, which starts tonight out at Yankee Stadium. We're getting on that subway tonight to the stadium. That's right. We're going to rock this town, and Make some history. It's a song, Bogan, all right? I'm quoting a song Dove played earlier. Anyhow, we're coming back. Beningo and Roberts here in the midday. Joe is off. Welcome to the future of car leasing with Honker, the auto leasing app. Honker is the cheapest and easiest way to lease a new vehicle. Honker is an auto leasing app to get your next new car SUV at the lowest price in just 3 swipes. Download the Honker app and have your new car SUV delivered today. It's that simple. Honker, spelled H-O-N-C-K-E-R, has thousands of new cars to choose from in your local area. Complete a new lease at the lowest possible price instantly, and the local dealer delivers to you. Honker, your car is here.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute. Now that Carmelo Anthony's disastrous one-year run in Oklahoma City is officially over, word is that the Houston Rockets are the team most likely to sign him once the Atlanta Hawks officially release him. Buyer beware. Sure, the Rockets lost Trevor Ariza off the team that won an NBA best 65 games in the regular season. At least in theory, Anthony's scoring ability should fit in with Chris Paul and James Harden. But it's worth remembering that at 34, Anthony's not the scoring machine he was earlier in his career. Beyond that, he is the matador defensive player he's always been. Even in today's high-octane NBA, you still have to play some defense if you want to win games in postseason. Do the Rockets really want a defensive liability like Anthony on the floor at crucial moments? Anthony's best role at this point would be as a sixth man, playing in spurts to give his team an offensive boost. It says here he won't accept that role. I'm John Feinstein.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to Rocket Mortgage.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.